Well, good morning again. It is good to see everybody out this morning, and it's always a privilege to have the opportunity to preach God's word. I don't take that lightly, and I was honored to have the opportunity again. When Brother Matt texted me yesterday morning, initially I wasn't sure right offhand what I was going to be preaching. I've had a few different things on my mind and heart recently, things I've been meditating on, but just didn't seem quite right. But it didn't take long for the Lord to show me direction and give me the message for this morning. The message is titled Life, just simply Life. You know, yesterday, I got a call yesterday morning from my boss. He wanted to let me know that we had had a death in our company. I work for Palmer Trucks. And that we had had a young man who was a delivery driver in Fort Wayne, who was involved in an accident and lost his life. He was 21 years old. And you hear about things like that all the time. You think at 21 years old, you've got your whole life ahead of you. 21-year-olds don't think about death very much, at least in my experience. 20-year-olds don't think about their mortality. They don't spend a lot of time thinking about heaven and hell. But at 21 years old, his life was taken. It was over in an instant, in flash. And we don't always have opportunity in those last moments. I don't know anything really about the situation other than what I've just shared. I don't know if he was a Christian. I don't know the state of his soul. But I do know one thing, that has all been determined now. And there's no going back. That he is either in heaven in the presence of Christ, or he is in hell, separated from our holy God for all eternity. And that is it. That's it. There is no middle ground. There's no praying your way out of a purgatory. There's those two places. And once you're there, you're there. And praise God for that. For those that are saved, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And once you're in heaven, there's no going back. But we have to keep in mind, for a lost and dying world, the alternative is horrendous. It's a place of torment. And life itself, as precious and as valuable as it is, so short. Miss Faye spoke this morning about being 90 years old, and it went by instantly. Instantly. And in my short life, I've experienced the same thing. Multiply my life by two or three, and it'll be the exact same thing. Life goes by fast. It goes by real fast. The Bible talks about redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do what you can with the time that you have. Make the most of it. I'm reminded all the time that life, that time itself is fleeting, and that life is really short. Benjamin Franklin, he wrote, "Do not squander time, for that's the stuff that life is made of. It's time." I've heard it said before that our life can be summed up with a simple dash, just a little bitty dash. It's that little dash they put between two dates on a tombstone or a gravestone. The date at the beginning represents the year you were born, and that date at the end represents the date or the year that you died. When you walk through a cemetery, you see hundreds and hundreds of those tombstones, those gravestones, and you look at that, and those two dates really are, they're significant, but they're less significant than that little bitty dash between them. That little bitty dash represents our entire life. Think about people in your life that have had the biggest impact, that have come and gone. My great-grandpa was very special to me. And thinking about life and the value of life and the preciousness of life and also the brevity of life, I do remember getting a call one day. It was about 13 years ago. I was working, and I got a call that my great-grandpa was at the hospital at Bloomington. He was not doing very well, and I needed to get there if I wanted to see him. So I raced down to the hospital at Bloomington, and I was able to be there when he died. I think, if I remember right, I think that was the first time I had been with someone when they died. And since then, of course, there's been a number of other times. And for many of you, it's probably been way too many. times that you've been with someone as they died, a loved one. But my great-grandpa, he was an incredible man. He served in the military from September 1941 to August 1945. For anybody that knows those dates, you know what was going on during 1941 to 1945. He was in combat during World War II in North Africa and Sicily and Italy. He was captured as a POW in Italy, and then he was shipped to a German Stalag, which was a Nazi German prisoner of war camp during World War II. They were designed primarily for captured non-commissioned officers and enlisted Allied personnel. He fought in World War II in the U.S. Army in the 509th PIB. That's a parachute infantry battalion. If anybody's ever seen the series Band of Brothers, that was him. That was an incredible thing to be a part of. He was awarded the Purple Heart and the European African Middle Eastern Service Medal. My great-grandpa Ellis, he was a pastor at several different churches in southern Indiana and Illinois. His last pastorate being at Little Flock Primitive Baptist Church in Owen County, just west of Bloomington, southeast of Spencer. He was married for 67 years, had five kids, five grandkids, and 13 grandkids, great-grandkids, by the time he passed away. He died February 27th, 2013. February 27th was 2 days ago, 3 days ago, 13 years ago. His life, though, I mean, we all remember him, but is summarized on his gravestone as just a little bitty dash. That's how short our life is. It goes by so fast. And the question is really, what will you do with your dash? For some of you, you're towards the end of your dash. Doesn't mean it's over. If you're still here and you're breathing, you have time left to redeem, to use, to buy back, to give to God and for His glory, to be a wonderful part of your family and your church and in ministry. God's not through with you yet if you're still here. And for some of you, I hope you would think there's a lot of dash left. Maybe you're at the front end of your dash. But I was reminded this weekend that we never know. You don't know when your last breath will be. But I'm comforted in the fact that God knows. I'm comforted, and I take a great deal of comfort in the fact that some would say, I'm immortal until God's work for me is done. Nobody can take me out of this world before God's appointed time. We all have an appointed time. But all of this is not about death. This is about life. This morning's message is about life and about the value of life and how precious it is, how important it is that we take advantage of every moment of all of the time that we have. Use it and invest it. And what will bring you the most return? Now, that sounds a little bit like business, but I work in business. And I think that the Bible even talks about investing in things that really matter. The Bible says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But what are we to do? Invest in eternity. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where those things, they don't corrupt. And where thieves don't break through and steal, where nothing can steal your reward and nothing can steal your joy. Lay up for yourselves. Invest in eternity into heaven. This morning, I'd like to just make a few points about life, and hopefully it will be helpful to you as it's been to me. I'm going to start, and you don't have to turn there. I actually read it just a couple Wednesday nights ago or Sunday nights ago, and it's Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, and it's the beginning of life, and it begins with the breath of life. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We preached that night on the liberty of the soul. I guess today you could say we're preaching on the life of the soul. When we talk about life this morning, I'm not talking about just any biological life. I'm not talking about plant life and insect life and animal life. We're talking about life of the soul, of people that have eternity ahead of them, all right? So when we talk about life, I'm talking about it at the highest level that I possibly can. It's life in terms of eternity. It's life in terms of a soul. Life began with God. I'm going to have you turn over to Acts chapter number 17. We're going to be there in just a minute, and we'll read that one together. But as I thought about life, I was reminded that life is a gift, and life began with God. God is the giver of life. His essence is life. He is the fountain of life. Literally, what flows from Him is life, not death. God is the giver and taker of life. He is the source of life. He is sovereign over life. But it began with God. You know, our world would like to tell you that humanity was an accident. Our very existence was some kind of an accident, right? I mean, our kids are homeschooled, and we're trying to keep them from some of that. But in most schools today, kids are being taught that this all just kind of happened. And it happened accidentally. And there was no purpose behind it. And it happened really over the course of millions and billions of years, and death after death after death after death, and survival of the fittest. And all of a sudden, now here we are. And it all started with a speck. It all started with dirt. It all started with ooze. It all started with I don't even know what. I'm not a modern day scientist. And the world just keeps getting older and older. I can't keep up with it. I think, you know, maybe when you guys were in school, the world was only 50 million years old. And now it's billions of years old. And it's not even worth looking up how old they think it is, because it changes every time you look at it. The world's just getting older and older all the time, exponentially older. It's kind of how we age too, it seems like. But life didn't come about accidentally. The soul came about through the purpose and intention and providence of a sovereign, holy, righteous God who had, before the foundation of the world, decided, hey, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it, and this is why. All for His honor and His glory. Humanity was not an accident or the result of some evolutionary processes over billions of years. No, mankind is the creation of an infinitely wise designer who is the Almighty God. When we talk about life, it begins with God. He is the origin. He is the creator. He is the source of all life. That reminds me, though, that life is a gift. Some would say that that today is called the present because it's a gift. And I think that's a fun way to think about it. Every day is a gift. Not just your life and not just life in general, but the very life that you have today, the breath in your lungs right now, we take it for granted. But it's a gift from God, and it's a special gift that He imparted to you. Life is a gift. I'm reminded life is not only a gift, but it's not a guarantee. Not a single one of us is guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know what's going to happen. That 21-year-old young man in our company, he didn't know that that was going to be his last day. Every breath is a gift. Every day is a gift. You know, we think, oh, I've got so much to complain about. There's stuff going wrong. Look at the world we're living in. Look at it. I'm sorry, but we have far more to be grateful for than we have to complain about. Just the very breath in our lungs, just the very breath of life that God breathed into our nostrils to make us a living soul is a gift. But the very day that we live in, today, it's a gift. I ask the people at my work regularly, I'll go through and I'll say, hey, you know what the best day of the week is? And I'll hear someone go, Friday! Nope, it's not Friday. And then I'll hear somebody that's trying to look good to management go, Monday! I don't know what that's about. I said, no. Today is the best day of the week. Because today is all you got. Today is the best day of the week. Life is not guaranteed, and life is not to be taken for granted. Be grateful for every day that we have, for the very life that you have. Life exists as a gift from God in creation, not only when He breathed into the nostrils of man but the breath of life, but when He breathed into your life. That's when man became a living soul. So God is the source of life. You're in Acts chapter number 17. Let's look over at verse number 24. It says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all. What does he give? Life and breath and all things. So not just your very life, but it gets all the way down to the minute. I think we breathe about 16 breaths a minute or something like that, respiratory rate. Every single one of those breaths is a gift from God. Not just your life, but then let's go a step further, because it's not enough to say that God is just the source of life and the source of the breath in your lungs. But if there's anything else that might be ruled out, he says, no. He's the giver of all things. It says, seeing he hath given to all life and breath in all things. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that don't believe there is a God. I think they're self-deceived. And I think truly in their hearts they know. They know there is a God. In fact, years and years ago, back when they could still do this, I was listening to a podcast from Zig Ziglar. If anybody remembers Zig Ziglar, he was a Christian, but a motivational speaker. And he said back when they could still do this, there was a company that before they would hire somebody, they would have all of their applicants take a lie detector test. Now get this. And one of the questions on this lie detector test was, do you believe in God? Do you believe there is a God? And he said like 60-something percent of the applicants, even at that time, said, no, we don't believe there's a God. But 100% of those lied when they said, no, we don't believe there's a God. Without fail, even the ones that said, no, we don't, we're atheists, we don't believe that there's a God. Something in their heart said, yes, there is. And they knew they were lying. They knew they were. It's amazing that God is the creator of the world. And in all of us, he has put this longing for him, this need for him. But even in our very existence, our life, our breath, and all things, it's a gift from God. God is the source of this life. God gives life in creation, but he also gives life in conception. It's God who brings life into this world. There is not a life that is here, that is in existence, that wasn't brought about by the hand of God. God sustains life, including giving us the very breath in our lungs. Look over at verse number 28. Same chapter, verse number 28. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being. So not only is he the giver of life, he is sovereign over all of life. In him we live. I mean, is there anything if not only has he given us all things, but now it's in him that we live and move and have our very being. It's all in him. He sustains us. Thank you, brother. So God is not only the source of life, God is sovereign over all life. If you would, you can turn over to the book of Job. Job chapter number 1. We're going to read some of this together. I think Job is an excellent example to us in how he handled some things, but also it gives us some insight into God's sovereignty over life. It says in verse number 18, chapter 1, verse number 18. While he was yet speaking, and everybody knows the story of what's happened up to this point, the conversations in heaven, in the heavenlies, between God and Satan, the chaos that has ensued since then, the destruction that has happened, the things that have been taken from Job, but it gets to this point in the chapter, and this is when it gets as bad as it gets. It says in verse number 18 there, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Job has just lost all of his kids due to a great wind. And you're about to see Job's response. It says in verse 20, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle. He shaved his head and fell down upon the ground, and he worshiped." He worshiped God. "And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So when we say that God is the source of life, but he's also sovereign over all life, what we mean is that he is the giver of all life and the taker. That there is no one who leaves this world ahead of their time. But God has an appointed time for all of us. And like I said earlier, that means for the Christian, you're immortal until God's work for you is over. It's a comforting thought. But Job acknowledged here two things. Number one, that God gave. Lord, you gave. And Lord, you've taken away. And thirdly, and rightly said so, blessed be the name of the Lord. He worshiped God because he recognized, everything that we have. Name something that you have that wasn't given to you by God. There's been a famous football player, and I can't remember his name, but he was giving praise to God for his accomplishments. And of course, the reporters and all, they weren't all about that. So they were trying to, well, it's because you worked hard. It's because you hit the gym. It's because you, learned and watched videos and gave it your full effort. He said, yeah, that's all very important. But God granted me the ability to walk. God granted me the ability to move my arms. God granted me the ability to have some physical capabilities to be able to do this. He said, there's other people that don't have that. It's not their fault. God has granted me this ability, and so I'm grateful for it and gave God the glory. You see, it doesn't always work out the way we want it to, but God is always sovereign over all things. God is sovereign over life. He is the source of life, and he is sovereign over all life. That would be a tough place to be with Job. You know, we almost lost Ezekiel in the hospital when he was 6 months old. It was this close. He flatlined out. He turned blue. He was gone. But God. Oh, but the doctors, they stepped in. They did. I wouldn't want to have had to have been in that situation, not at Riley Hospital. And praise God for the means that he uses to do his work. God is a God of means, methods, motives, and he gets the job done. And he uses he uses us sometimes to do his work, right? He uses means. But to stand back and say it was anything but God at the end of the day, we're grateful for his life. It's because of God. Every one of us has a story like that we can tell. Gratitude to God for giving life, for preserving life. I'm going to read a couple different places here. You don't have to turn there, but you can write them down. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. So we've seen Job, now we can see Moses. "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." That is our sovereign God. It's reiterated in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6. "The Lord killeth and the Lord maketh alive. He bringeth down the grave and he bringeth up." Life is given and taken according to the wise counsel of God's perfect will. We serve a sovereign God who is the source of life, and he's sovereign over life. So we see the breath of life. Next, I would like to look at the beginning of life, or the birth of life. We're in Job. Turn over to Job chapter 33. Let's see what Job says about life and the breath of life and the breath of God. So we might say, well, yes, God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That happened in Genesis 2:7. But since then, didn't God just kind of step away and just let natural processes take over? You know, you have natural processes of life and death and reproduction. Doesn't God just step away from all of that and just kind of let the top spin? Some would say yes. Some would say that God is a distant God, that God's not really that involved. That yes, he created it all, but he created it in such a way that it just kind of continues on. Right? Kind of like spinning that top, and then you step away and let it go. Well, let's see what Job says about his life. In verse number 4, Job said, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." Now, the book of Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible. It probably predates even the time of Moses writing the Torah, the Pentateuch. And even then, I mean, you're still talking over 1,000, 2,000, it'd be over that. It'd be probably 3,000 years maybe after the creation of the world when God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And Job says, no. I am alive because the Spirit of God made me and because the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Every single one of us is here and alive today because the Spirit of God made us. And the breath of the Almighty made us alive. We have God to thank for that. God didn't just step away. He didn't just create life in the beginning and then step away and let natural processes continue independently of his almighty hand. Job makes that clear, that his life was given him by the breath of the Almighty God. And if we want further clarification, let's turn it back over to Psalm chapter 139. We were there this morning in our reading. We're just going to pick out a few verses here. Life is precious. Starting in verse number 13, it says, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." So get the picture here. What we're talking about is we're talking about David going all the way back to before he was born, okay, pre-birth, in his mother's womb, and how he's describing the working of God. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Who made him? God did. "Marvelous are thy works." Do you see that? Who is he giving credit for? His creation, his being made, his birth, his life. He's giving credit to God. "Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book," catch this, "in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Do you see that? That he's acknowledging that in God's book, all his members were written. And then according to how they were written, they were fashioned, even when there was none of them. Before he was even formed, God had designed him. I don't know if designed is the right word, but God had a plan for him. You know, we all look in the mirror and go, there'd be things we would change. David says, "Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well." We talk about wanting to be grateful as opposed to complaining. Be grateful how God made you. You are special. You are unique. You are valuable. God put his own personal, special detail in your design and in your construction and in your birth. Amen. For you and for me. And it's not just because I'm special, it's because every one of us is special in God's sight. That's where we find ourselves in verse number 17. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. We have so much to be grateful for. We can be grateful for life and for our soul and for our own breath in our lungs and the life that God has given us and the way God has formed us in our own creation. It's not wrong to say that God created you. That's accurate. That's right here in Psalm chapter 139. And yet we live in a society that has a disregard for that life. Largely. We live in a society that would rather abort an innocent baby than bring it into the world. I was reading some troubling statistics. In 2024, there was 1,038,000 babies that were aborted. That's 2,844 a day. I don't know what the number was for last year. I know it was too high, because if it was one or more, it was too high. And that's not to say that anyone that has had an abortion, it's some unforgivable sin. God is still loving, and God is still sovereign over all things. But we as a society have got to stand up and fight against it. That we are absolutely for life. Not just life, but for abundant life. Life in Christ. And so we look here, we're reminded that God is the source of life and that He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. We see God's handiwork in the birth of life. And life doesn't begin at birth. Life does not begin at birth. Life begins at conception. And really, you could even say that in the mind of God, that life is a thought in His mind. How precious are His thoughts toward us? Those thoughts began before the world began. God's thoughts toward us go back to before the foundation of the very world He created. Life is valuable. Life is precious. All life. But yet in our world, if they believe that there's no God, then they believe that they get to determine when life begins or what lives are valuable. And they might use things like, well, if that life is not contributing to society, then it's not valuable to us. That's the kind of thinking you end up with when you eliminate God from the conversation. There are places in this world right now where euthanasia is legal because that person is no longer a contributor to society. God forbid that would ever happen here. We have to stand not just against, but for life. That the Christian stands for life, but not just life, but abundant life. So not only do we see the breath of life and the birth of life, but we also see very clearly in Scripture, and we all know it to be true, the brevity of life. Turn over to James chapter number 4 and verse number 13. James chapter number 4. James is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And I find myself there a lot still. But James chapter number 4 and verse number 13. James is teaching us about a way of living and a way of thinking about our very lives. In verse 13, he says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Hey, that sounds like good business. Yeah. In business, you've got to think ahead. You've got to plan ahead. You've got to budget. You've got to have goals and proposals, propositions. You've got to be looking towards the future at all times so you know that your direction is set and you're heading in the right way. So this isn't bad sense. I mean, this is good business sense. Hey, we're going to go into the city. We're going to be there a year. We're going to buy. We're going to sell. And hopefully when we're buying and selling, somewhere in there we have some profit margin. We can get some gain, right? That's good sense. But what does James say? Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Your life is a vapor. Many of you know that to be true. Many of you are feeling that right now, that this life is going by like a vapor in the wind, like a breath on a cold winter morning. It's there, and then it's gone. You think about our lives from the viewpoint of God and eternity. What is our life? What is 80, 90, 100 years? The most you could hope to get would be about 120. That's biblical. 120 years. There's still people. There's some people that somehow live close to that amount of time. That's still like that in scope of eternity. And it still feels like it went by that fast when it's over. In the mind of God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Our lives are so short. Like I said before, it's just a little dash between two numbers. We shouldn't take it for granted, but we should not boast about tomorrow either. Now, this chapter in James is not teaching that we don't make plans and we're not smart and we don't do business. I mean, it's not talking about that. What he's saying there is if you live your life so confident, so complacent about time and about the very breath in your lungs and fail to have gratitude and rather would rather complain about all this and that, and you're going through life not even realizing that your very life is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Rather, he says in verse 15, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. I skipped a part. If the Lord will, we will do this or that. He says, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Our very life, but then beyond our very life, the very events of our life. Well, the Bible just said if we do this, then maybe it left out doing that. Is there anything else besides this or that? There's nothing else besides our very life and this or that. Everything is under the sovereign will of God. And it says the way we should live is as we make our plans and as we go about our day and as we conduct our business and as we live our lives, we should live our lives with the will of God in mind. I remember the old saying, what we used to say was, if the Lord will and the creek don't rise, right? We'll be there if the Lord willing and the creek don't rise. That was never more true than at their old house on the Ivers compound, because they actually got flooded in one time on that hill when that bridge covered up. If the Lord will, though, that's the way we are to live every day. If the Lord will, I'll do this or that. Make your plans, but don't eliminate God from the equation. God should be a part of everything that we do, every decision that we make, every place that we go. We keep in mind that life is a gift. The breath that we have in our very lungs is a gift. How should we spend such a short life, which James is describing as a vapor? Well, number one, I would say we should live our life with immense gratitude for the gift of the day, for the gift of the breath that's in our very lungs, because every day is a gift from God. We should live our life recognizing God's control and his sovereignty over all things, including our very life. We should live our life intentionally to the will of God. In all that we do, we have God's word, don't we? We have the revealed will of God. Are we living our lives according to it? We should. We should be resolved no longer to linger in the sin that we've been involved in. But no, we should be determined and resolved. No, I'm going to live to the will of God today. That when we pray, we could pray as Jesus prayed, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we pray that he would give us this day our daily bread. This day. Live your life to the will of God and live your life doing what is right, doing good and running from sin. Let's read verse number 16 and 17 there. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If there's good you know you're to be doing, what's holding you back? If you don't do it, it's sin. Theologians call this the sin of omission, not the sin of commission. It's not the sin of what you did. It's the sin of what you didn't do. You knew to do something. You knew to do what was good, and you didn't do it. It's those moments when the Holy Spirit reveals to you, see that person over there? You need to go help them. You need to go give them. You need to go aid them. You need to go do for them, and you don't. When you know there's good to do, there's a lot of good to be done in the church, in the community, in ministry, in your family. Think about your relationships. What good is there that you are to be doing and you're not? We talked a little bit earlier about investing. We are to invest in eternity for the most gain, right? The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The goal is still gain, even when we sacrifice our very lives. Jesus talked about if a man will, essentially, I forget the verse now, if he'll try to keep his life, he'll lose it. But if he'll lose his life for my sake, he will gain it. You see, the goal is still gain. It's just not temporal gain. In this short little dash, it's to make that dash have the biggest return in eternity. Who's going to be there with you? If we thought about our lives in these terms more, we would do a lot more good. How are you investing your life today? Are you investing it in your own selfish will? In your own experience of temporal pleasures? In your own way? Or are you investing in the people around you? Are you investing in your brothers and sisters at church? Are you investing in your husband or in your wife? Are you investing in your kids, your grandkids? Are you investing in the community and reaching souls? Are you investing at your work? I'm not talking about stocks and bonds. I'm talking about investing in the eternal souls of the people that are there. Brother Carl shared just not too long ago about how somebody had invested in his life and into eternity. How does God want you to live with this gift of today? May it be so far from us that we would complain, but rather that we would be grateful and so eternally grateful for what God has given us. But don't take it for granted, because it's not guaranteed. So redeem the time, because the days are evil. Use up, buy back, invest the time that you have into the ones that you love and into the good that God wants you to do. There's so much more that we could get into. There's so much more to life. We could talk about the burdens of life. We could talk about the beauty of life. We could talk about the bountiful life that Jesus has in store for all of those that will believe. He says, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life. And not just life, but that you might have it more abundantly, bountifully, that you might experience the most abundant life. That's what I desire for you, church. That's what God desires for you. That's what God desires for all people. And so as we look out and as we look for ways to invest, look for ways to invest in that abundant life. Amen. Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful to you. And yet we realize that oftentimes we're not grateful enough. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the way you gift and give us all things, not just our life, but the very breath in our lungs right now is a gift from God. Lord, we're thankful. Lord, I'm thankful for all of those that are here this morning, the ones that have come out. Lord, I pray that this has been a blessing to them. But Lord, as we go about our day, because that's all we have, Lord, I pray that it would be that you would help us to be a blessing to others. Help us to invest in eternity. Help us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Help us to rejoice in the experience of that abundant life that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we recognize this morning that we don't even have life, not truly, if we don't have the light of Jesus Christ in us. Lord, so many, as Christ came into the world, they didn't comprehend it, they didn't understand it, they rejected him. Lord, even today, so many reject the life of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be actively involved in sharing the gospel and bringing souls into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, help us to have more of an eternal mindset. Lord, as we think about the gift of the day, may we think about how that might play out into the scope of eternity. Lord, we thank you that we have confidence in you, that we're saved, that we are your children, and that there's nothing that can pluck us out of your hand. So Lord, I pray that you would continue to do this work in our hearts and in our lives this morning. Lord, we're grateful to you for this life that we have. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.